button has been pressed.
The introduction is substantially longer than I remember it being.
It's okay.
It keeps adding more tea samples as you continue to read the introduction.
Yeah.
That is a joke that only the people in this recording will get.
Last time on Earl Grayer. Wait, what?
I mean, maybe we should plug Republic of Tea as, well, samples.
This episode brought to you by Republic of Tea. They're not sponsoring us. We just wouldn't be here without it.
Yes.
This episode brought to you by Soundwaves. They're really inefficient telepathy.
They're so...
This episode brought to you by the internet. Not like the thing, but the god of the internet. Because that's just how we refer to gods now.
I thought it was brought to us by the internet. It was that small box that you put on the table over there. You told me that was the internet.
And don't ever unplug it.
No. No, if you unplug it, everything goes boom.
I'll be right back.
Why didn't anyone tell me that?
I have so many concerns.
This outlet only has two prongs. I need an adapter.
Concerns, I have them.
There's a tweet that I can't remember exactly, but it was a quote tweet, and the original was, "Why does work stress you out so much?" or something like that. And the quote tweet was, "Because I just had to drive 2 hours to plug in a server that three separate people told me over the phone was plugged in."
Ouch. Also, I believe it. I believe it's so hard.
Anyway.
We should probably let Ellie start the intro.
Yes, intro time.
I'm the one who keeps prolonging things.
It was a group effort.
Mm-hmm. Last time in Plus Ultra, the group's employer, Tige, has sent them to Iversby, a small farming town along a major trade route. He thinks there might be something unusual to find there, but hasn't been able to pin down what it is, and has sent the adventurers to investigate. The town has clearly seen better days. Several buildings, including the long, low structure by the road and all the buildings north of the river, are in ruins, although the bridge is oddly well-maintained and recently reinforced. And the assistant shopkeeper, Yaldbert, was surprised to receive the shipment of canning jars that Hugh insisted on bringing with him. They normally wouldn't have arrived for several more weeks, and the shop hadn't made room for them yet. While the group helped Yaldbert unload the canning jars into hastily cleared spots in the shop, Steinan met Ingvildr, a Groof woman traveling south through the town toward the mountains in search of a workshop. And then a youth ran in, called Henrik by the shopkeep, who reported that while they were playing in the ruins, a loose building stone had fallen on his friend Imka and trapped her underneath. As the group ran to the ruins, a bizarre contraption came up behind them. A mechanical cart with a lifting blade on the front, powered by a steam engine in the rear, and driven by a Giona with a Tuwati woman riding alongside. They took the machine to the site of the accident, where the Giona, Victoria, used the blade to lift the stone. Ayla, the Tuwati, shoved it away from the fallen girl, and at the same time, Yaldbert and several party members hauled the girl out from under the stone. When Quintilianus, the sky medic and academic in residence, arrived, he ordered Imka carted back to his dwelling, the former chapel in the graveyard forest to the east of town. There he ministered to her overnight, while various party members either stayed around with Quintilianus or checked in on Mildred and the cart. They were fine. Finally stopped in at the inn and brought food back for the party. It's now the next morning, and those who have chosen to have bunked down in Quintilianus' chapel. He rises at dawn, if not before, so be warned, while the rest spent their night in the inn. Midsummer edges closer, and the sun rises over the fields, and as the sun rises over the fields and orchards, the hum of insects singing floats across the town. The name of the place is Iversby. This is Plus Ultra. My name is Ellie, and tonight I'm here with Beth, Crash, and Io. And what happened? No, wait.
Does anyone want to plug a thing?
No.
Well, you...
Yes.
So, it's morning. Where have you spent the night and what are you doing?
You spent the night learning medicine.
This is true.
Damielan, I think, picked the inn. She's long and probably you don't actually want to have her too close if she has a weird dream because you might wake up in her coils.
That's fair.
I mean, okay, this probably means that there was a bed and there's just so many coils all over it, and you can't tell if she's fallen out of bed or not. Anyway, everyone else had everything in hand, so she is at the inn.
Okay.
She wakes up hugging the bed.
Yeah, frequently.
Delco will have joined you. Not in the bed, just in the inn.
Uh-huh. Reasonable, reasonable.
We are not committing a nap pile.
Steinen, what did you do overnight?
Well, I'm pretty sure I said what I was doing last session, and I have forgotten.
I don't remember either. Let's retcon. What would you, in the moment now, like to have been doing?
I don't know.
Okay.
Flip a coin.
I forget the reasons where I might have been one place or the other.
I've strolled up because I was asked before we were going to start the session last week. So I wrote it down. Hugh stayed for sure. Sari went to get food and may have stayed when she returned. We now know that she went to the inn. And
it was crowded.
Stein checked on Mildred, but it wasn't determined what Stein did after checking on Mildred.
Ah, I don't think I really have a reason to not stay at the inn then.
Okay. Then the inn is more than happy to put you up. Your rooms have been paid for. So
you're all staying in the inn.
Yes.
You wrote down Tamalan's species instead of
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. In my defense, I was writing that while editing the episode.
Okay, fair.
Tamalan goes blink, blink.
Okay. It is morning. The inn is a clatter with the sound of people preparing a mid-morning meal. Quintilianus has, as stated, been up since dawn. And Imca is looking much better, although Quintilianus still won't let her get up and leave. The innkeeper, those of you who went over will know this, the inn is run and owned by Luke, a skyman of indeterminate age. His assistant is Pega, a human man in his early 20s. And his staff are Oksana, a Giona woman, Augustus, a skyman, and Hinnerk, a human man. The other people in the tavern are... you've met Ingvildr. She's staying in one of the rooms. Jokul is a groove man, older by groove standards, who has arrived too early for the apple harvest. Eliseo is a skyman who's older than Luke, and he's on the way to the coast and just stopping for the night. And Vilhard and Rika are a human man and woman who are traders who are in town for a few days.
Makes sense.
You is not going to remember any of that because the player is not going to remember any of that.
Yes, we were going to investigate the ruins, I recall.
My excuse is I have over 500 students.
Do you remember their names?
Some of them.
I do not have this excuse, and I am trying to remember the names, but also I have immediately forgotten most of them. I'm so sorry.
Okay. There is a pinned comment, but it doesn't include all the names that Ellie just went over.
And now there is.
And now there is a pinned comment that explains all the names.
Yay.
I just went over. You are welcome to go fetch you and look into the ruins up north.
Barring anything else happening this morning that sparks a different course of action, Steinen sees no reason to not go pick up Hugh and set off.
Okay.
It is quite likely, considering the wake-up time, that when it is obvious that Hugh is not going to learn more, learning how to set bones and stuff was really neat. Hugh was very glad to have learned that. But also, Hugh has an ox to take care of. So Steinem might head out to get Hugh, and then Hugh would say, "Where are you going?" as Steinem walks past.
Mildred is fine. The cart is fine. They have been put up in one of the inn has stables, and they've been put up in the stables in the inn. Mildred has. The cart does not get its own stable stall.
Tried feeding it some hay that did not go over well.
If the cart starts eating hay,
a mimic.
Are we sure?
So far as you know.
Well, it's not eating hay.
It might be a carnivorous mimic.
It's not eating meat either.
It might be a pescatarian. So far as you know. I mean, it might only want fish.
I am not waving a fish in front of the cart.
Who said anything about in front of the cart?
We find out it's fed by Hugh making apples explode in the vicinity. It eats the fragments.
That's true. It might be a fructivore.
It's applivorous.
I'm okay with this being the entire session.
And to answer your question, Beth, yes, Luke does go on walks often.
I just had to know that. Yes, thank you.
He is Luke the Skywalker.
Yes.
It's spelled L-L-U-K. L-L-U-C.
But it's pronounced. But it's pronounced
Luke.
And Sky is with a Y.
Is not I, like rather. The thing you look
S-K-A-I.
Up.
S-K-A-I. Yes. Yes. I will fix my spelling. There. Okay. Now we know what his cipher description would be having in it.
Oh, that reminds me. Before we really get going, Crash, do you want to replenish your ciphers?
Oh, certainly. I am... You know, I think I'm on the last day of the previous nutrition and hydration cipher. I'm going to use the 7-day one that I still have.
Like, okay.
I wonder if this still works. Yep, that still works. I am, again, not hungry at all. Huh. Oh, I can... That's weird. I can check a box to make it be a manifest cipher or not. That should not work that way.
I mean, yeah, you could manifest it by you take the nutrition pill and
the way wild magic works in this iteration, it's all subtle ciphers. There are things that I figure out how to do briefly. If you're good at something, you could do it more than once. Hugh is not good at this.
Ah.
It's wild magic.
Oh dear.
Hugh goes around saying magic, do as you will.
Oh no.
Yet there is no unicorn.
Yet.
And yet. I'm gonna keep the best tool and strength boost ciphers, so that means I guess I get three more.
Okay. I was just about to ask, you refill up to five, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Please do not turn Tamilin into a unicorn or a half snake unicorn.
I use hedge magic to make a illusory horn appear on your forehead for half a second.
I would also prefer to not be a unicorn.
Your sword would probably turn into your horn, then you'd have flaming horn to fight with, which would be kind
How
of
about
awesome,
we
really.
Don't?
I mean, I like opposable thumbs. Opposable thumbs are neat.
Opposable thumbs are very preferable.
Yeah. Okay, so I got dark sight, a mind stabilizer. You know what dark sight is, but mind stabilizer, the user gains +5 armor against intellect damage when I use this. So I stabilize my own brain. Oh my gosh, it's a spoon saver.
Oh, I wish I had a spoon saver.
And an analeptic. Restores a number of points equal to the cipher's level of the user's speed pool.
Hmm.
Oh, shoot.
I'm just going to keep that next to the strength boost. What was that?
Bang?
Oh, just a second.
Uh-oh.
All right. So these are going to be not useful until they're very useful.
Isn't that how a lot of ciphers would tend to be?
Yes. My hope is that the best tool, or dark sight, will be the very useful ones. Because everything else implies that something has gone horribly wrong.
Sorry about that. I neglected to grab my laptop's charger when I got up this morning.
Ooh.
Realized that it was down to 10%. So.
That is definitely Ofrotz.
I just looked at the bottom corner to see what my charge was, and then I realized that I'm still on my desktop.
100%, I hope.
Doesn't list a percentage at all.
Funny that. What? Desktop.
Crash desktop computers check. Charge.
I heard something that sounded like it started with 100 and then a long Silence.
100%, I hope.
Ah.
If Crash's desktop battery is any lower than 100%, he's going to have problems and may not go to space today.
Yes,
we're going to space. Hugh has concerns. Hugh has many concerns and would like to use Farstep to go down, not up.
Well, if we're in space, I'm not sure we want to go down either.
No. Using Farstep to go down shortly after takeoff, so that is not going up anymore.
Okay, yes, that's fair.
My concerns are vast. Besides, if we go to space, clearly we would have to do so with an appropriate vehicle, like some kind of magical flying enclosed thing, right? No helping.
So, we were going to the ruins, right?
Yes.
That seems like what we are supposed to do for investigating what might be strange here. The ruins seem the strangest thing, especially since no one can figure out how to pull them down safely so that they can be rebuilt or shore them up safely, as I recall.
When you talked to Victoria about it, you got the impression that it was less that she didn't think she could and more that she was reluctant to.
Have the ruins pulled down?
Yeah.
They're a
reluctant
bit of history.
To.
And we found out that the history of the town is mysterious because nobody knows what the history is.
In a certain way, that's true. That nobody is. It's been there long enough that all they really know of it, like they know that it was founded by a man named Ivor. But other than that, like it's been such a long time that they really have to, like, what they care about is whether they're going to get an apple harvest this year.
Well, hopefully, but not this early.
Not this early. The cherries are starting to come off the trees, but the apples probably not until the end of the next month.
The cherries make little pop sounds when I try to change their color.
They do or don't explode.
We've established what happens with the old method of changing color, yes.
Do not explode the cherries. We do not need cherry bombs around.
No, that would be the pits.
And I think the trouble would stem from such an experiment. They would ask us to leave their cherries alone.
Okay, let's move to a different branch of discussion.
Like the plot.
Yes, we should root out.
I didn't say it had to be the plot.
Going... We should root out whatever is going on with this town, shouldn't we?
Half an hour in.
I was sipping my water.
We should know better, Crash.
As you cross the bridge, you, in fact, see Victoria up there. She looks like she's making notes about the stone that fell. Otherwise, it's pretty quiet on this side of the road.
Material, rock, weight, heavy.
It's more like she's, it looks like she's sketching.
Blink, blink.
Do we need to take a rubbing?
Oh, no, not again.
I don't know. Do we need to take a rubbing? Perhaps we should go see.
Let's look around first.
Look, I'm just saying we have that whole box that's nothing but parchment and charcoal. It'd be a waste if we went back and it wasn't used.
No, I'm sure we'll use it eventually. We'll use it on something.
If she has not noticed you yet, you can probably get by her without interacting with her if you really want to.
Do we really want to?
What you doing?
I like to keep... I'm not going to do the accent. I like to keep track of the state of the ruins. If something changes, we should know about it.
Like, say, a large rock falling over.
Well, exactly. And why that rock's been there for decades, if not centuries. Why did it fall over now? I mean, the kids were playing here. We tell them not to.
Perhaps one accidentally moved it by magic?
It could be.
How soft
things
is
are
the
weird
ground?
Recently. Oh, it's, well, I mean, it's by a river, so it's not exactly hard to dig through, but
Tamilin will go
mud.
Tamilin
suggested that we might take a look at it, since if he came and took a look at it, well, he doesn't have anyone with him for if something happened.
Oh, that's a good idea. Well, I tell you what, the inside of this building's falling apart a bit. You might want to stay out of there.
We'll keep that in mind. Thanks.
I mean, if someone went in there, I wouldn't be surprised if something fell on them. I don't expect the big rocks on the outside to fall off.
That makes sense. Fascinating.
Hugh's going to walk around the perimeter while this conversation is happening.
Emelin wants to poke around where the rock fell from and if it was unstable, if we can get that much after we emergency lifted it and all.
Okay. And Crash, I got what you were, I picked up where you were putting down. The ground is not soft. You wouldn't expect the ground to be soft enough to cause that kind of tumble. That was like failing mortar and kids horsing around, probably. But even then, it's surprising that it came loose. To Milan, I am going to ask you for a climbing roll, but basically just don't roll a one.
I'll just roll a d20 then. Ooh, 5. I have to take
that's not a one. You're trained in climbing, so I'm not terribly concerned about you getting up there. I just wanted to see if something happened when you did.
You are tallest snack.
Q, are you using scan as you go around?
If I am allowed to, yes. I am going to be walking 10 feet scan. 10 feet scan. 10 feet scan.
I truly do not see why you wouldn't.
I'm assuming most of what I encounter is it's rock.
That is what I was going to be having Mafa do last night. There is, I suppose, not a surprising amount. Well, there is metal involved. Not a surprising amount. There is wood involved. Kind of a surprising amount considering how old these ruins appear to be. And there is a space under the building.
Is the wood visible?
No.
Has anyone ever gone down into the basement?
There's a basement? I mean...
Of course there's a basement.
Well, I haven't found it if there is one.
Hugh will look for where in this particular ruin some type of access might be. Like, is there some spacing in the foundation that shows there'd be stairs there if someone just moved?
Okay, I'm going to hold on that until I have asked Steinen to repeat what they were going to do.
Well, certainly this is what Hugh is doing while Steinen's doing a thing.
Steinen doesn't really have much of any applicable skill set, so Steinen is mostly roaming around looking for potential places something might fall in and being there in case something falls on a party member. When she sees that Hugh is looking for something, looking for an entrance, she will come along to help.
Okay.
And keep things from falling on Hugh. Keep Hugh from falling into a hole, you know.
That sort of thing.
Hugh might be digging the hole himself.
I feel like despite not having any really applicable skills, I probably know a bit more about doing that safely than Hugh does.
So I am going to struggle to describe this, I think. So please bear with me. The first floor, what you can tell from the outside is that the floor of this building is stone with a wood underlay. The stone is not thick in the sense that the outer wall stones are thick, but it's, you know, the stones that make up the floor of this building are fairly substantial. There is one spot over the vacuum underneath the vacuum doesn't go all the way underneath the first floor. It's limited to a certain area. And there is a certain spot where the stone is much thinner and there's quite a bit more wood. But without going into the building, you're not going to be able to tell more.
Hugh goes into the building.
Dynan sighs a little bit and follows.
That was coming, wasn't it?
This was inevitable. She knew that this was inevitable. They were all going to go into the building, but...
Look, we're going into the dangerous building. Tamilin will slither over to the entry and watch to see what all might be able to fall on her from there so that she can pick a course that is less plentiful with, what's the right word? She has a feeling it's a target-rich environment, but she's the target.
Question for the GM.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a human, you gave, like, humans stats also, so that they're somewhat comparable to all the various other species, and I appreciate that. I got make it work. Anytime you improvise a solution using a skill you're already trained in, you gain an additional asset. I have an inability in patience, willpower, or discipline. And we know from previous experience, I consider that to be an asset.
You sure do.
Hugh is interested.
I have some questions about where this is going.
Hugh is interested in just getting to that spot and excavating it quickly. One might say, oh no, and think that Hugh is planning on using Onslaught. And to be honest, the thought crossed my mind, but I have best tool, which also provides an additional asset for any one task using a tool, even if that means exceeding the normal limit of two assets.
Okay.
And would this be a might-based task?
You know what? I was going to say, yes, you remembered to bring a shovel with you.
But this is funnier.
No.
I did. It's the best tool.
So yes, it's a might-based task because you are going to be using your strength to dig out a hole.
Yes. And I'm going to use strength boost so that I have an edge of one. I didn't have an edge before, but it means I'm only going to spend two might as opposed to three with the best tool, giving me another asset. And if heaven and earth align properly, possibly a third asset because of my human abilities and my inability to be patient about this. I don't expect that third one.
First of all, you're only spending 1 point because really? Your best tool is level 6.
Oh, nice.
Or no, your strength boost is level 6. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And so since it's level 5 or higher, you add 2 to your might edge.
Well, I sit corrected because I'm currently in front of a computer.
Okay. Go right ahead and make that roll. And again, just don't roll a 1. Another 5.
And why does this keep switching back to GM rolls?
I don't know.
Regardless.
Have you clicked the little button that says public roll?
I set it to public and it went back. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because Ellie made it visible before I could. Yeah. And it wasn't a 1 is the bottom line.
Yes.
By the way, everyone give yourself a luck point because you have all made me laugh tonight.
Aww.
I keep forgetting that I can do that.
So with the various assets that Hugh has, he might go to the dirt like a wood chipper. Anyway, you were saying.
Yeah, you are shoveling the heck out of the dirt that has accumulated inside this building. The inside is a generous term. There is, like, you can see that this building is no longer as tall as it was once. The roof is gone. The second floor is mostly gone. There is still some overhanging structure up there. It's stone held up with rotting wood. It could fall through if disturbed too much. Victoria is next to Tamilin at the entrance, sort of wincing anytime the shovel hits metal or it hits stone. But you do eventually manage to dig yourself out a little space in the dirt and decayed wood and fallen stone where you've exposed a flagstone and bits and pieces of other flagstones around it. And that is where you're seeing this flagstone. Like if you come out to the main floor and hit your shovel, knock your shovel against the floor, you're doing the Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade thing, where you're striking your shovel against the floor, the main floor, and it makes a certain sound, and then you strike your shovel against this one flagstone and it makes a different sound, a hollow sound.
Oh, look, there's a sinkhole. Hopefully this one doesn't have horrible zombie creatures.
I haven't seen any zombie creatures.
Are
we expecting zombie creatures?
If that happened, we'd have 2 nickels.
This doesn't mean we shouldn't expect it. I wonder if the thing has been settling, and that's why the stone fell weirdly.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I never saw any sign that there was a basement here.
Well, and now we have. I suppose we'll have to go and look in there. It will be difficult to keep you out, after all.
Why would you build a basement here? It's right next to the river. You'd just be digging into mud.
How is it not slumped in into mud, then?
So, I've traveled a lot, and there's some rivers that, like, there was a flood, and now there's, like, a whole bunch of bridges that go over not a river anymore, and they had to build other bridges. Maybe when these houses were, like, new, the river went a different direction.
Huh.
That's an interesting thought. It might explain why they were abandoned.
Well,
I wouldn't want to live someplace where the basement kept flooding.
I'm just surprised.
It's going to be awful, isn't it?
Only one way to find out.
It's not.
I attempt to move the flagstone.
Okay. The flagstone is surprisingly well anchored, but you do manage you've got scan, you've got best tool. You do manage to find the loose bit that lets you pry it up.
It's not a hidden button that I press and the whole thing just shifts out of the way.
No.
Oh, darn. Hugh laments this. We were spoiled in the previous dungeons that we examined. You mean you don't have this obvious iron chain hanging down that it is pull on and everything slides out of the way to reveal a bunch of Draugr?
Oh, no. Let's not have Draugr.
The hidden catch is for the trapdoor that's under the flagstone.
Ah.
What? Hey.
That's something.
They found the door. Tamilin will carefully slither over.
Victoria has already run over. She's suddenly heedless and is staring at the trapdoor.
Decided to just build over the basement without filling it in. Maybe they did fill it in. Let's get this trapdoor open.
Perhaps it was a secret door. They simply abandoned it.
As this is being discussed, if Hugh is able to untrap the trapdoor and open it, Hugh is doing this.
Despite scan, I actually am going to ask you to make a searching roll for this. Call it difficulty 2.
I do not have a skill in searching, so I'm just going to roll. I'm going to spend 3 luck points. Actually, no. I'm not. I'm going to spend all of my luck points because that will take it to 6.
Okay.
Versus possibly not getting 6.
That's fair.
Fair enough. It's very lucky that you managed to find the catch. It took some clever feeling around the rim of the trapdoor, but you do eventually stumble onto it, and you hear a click, and there's the trapdoor settles a little, you know, in that way when, like, you've disengaged a deadbolt on a door that's otherwise loose.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing else happens.
Let's lever this up, shall we?
Oh, there's a ring on the top you can pull if you want.
Tamilin will start giving it a pull unless Stein and
I'll pull.
If it's a big enough ring, we can both pull.
You're going to have to find room to grab onto the ring because Hugh is already pulling. Hugh is not old Rob. Hugh is ready for this adventure.
Hugh is not old Rob. Sorry.
Whoever does it, the trapdoor swings open and there is a ladder leading down.
What is the ladder made of and how decayed does it look?
It is made of ironclad wood and it actually looks surprisingly like it's, you would not think that a ladder would look this good after however many years it's been.
Can we see the bottom?
Oh yeah, it only goes down about 10 feet, but it is like pitch black in there. Other than that, other than the light that's coming in.
I'm using my dark side cipher. And leave the rope at the top. Yes, of course you will.
Okay.
I am using every cipher I can use because I just get them back.
Tamilin is going to leave a wind of rope at the top because, okay, she's not really got anything to anchor it to easily at the moment. But, you know, if they need some help, it would be good for somebody there to have, like, rope to help them out. 10 feet isn't too bad, though. 10 feet is you know, standing on somebody's shoulders.
While Tamilian is doing that, and while Steinem is doing whatever Steinem is doing, Hugh far steps to the bottom, not using the ladder.
Okay.
Should probably find out what Steinem's doing.
He's learned a new trick. Tamilian says, oh no. He's learned a new trick.
Well, I was going to try to anchor a rope and rope down.
Why don't I help you with that?
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Tamilian has gone down on her belly and is basically looking over the edge to, you know, upside down observe what the criff.
It's only a 10-foot drop.
Yes, that's not too bad.
It's the getting back up.
I far step to the top.
We can't do that.
Can you carry us when you do that?
I don't think so, but you said you were anchoring the rope, so even if the ladder isn't stable, like you'll be fine. But also you don't have to climb more than 10 feet, which is also good. But while you're doing that, I far step back down.
Tamilian is just going to follow by going down the ladder kind of head first so that her tail is sort of clinging to the edge of the trapdoor edge, and she's, you know, padding down the ladder before it takes her weight kind of thing. She's going down the ladder the way a snake would go down the ladder, if a snake had hands.
I have two Cypher System characters that I get to play. At this point, they both have Far Step because I just leveled Bug up. And they can both do it for free because they have an edge of 2 in intellect. When I, on a whim, recreated Ran from the GURPS Wars game as a Cypher System character, it took every fiber of my being to not give Ran Far Step.
Telekinesis other.
Oh, I assure you. That would be telekinesis self. And I assure you, it's on a short list.
Okay.
And his foci is mind over matter. So his tier 2 ability is called telekinesis.
Of course it is.
Yes. But Far Step is fun.
I will keep that in mind.
I'm going to shut up and let other people do things.
The ladder holds your weight. In fact, it's surprisingly stable. It has not experienced the weathering that the rest of the building has. And Victoria, who cannot, unlike Hugh, see in the dark, passes down a lantern before she starts climbing down herself. And then you all gather at the bottom of the ladder and look around the basement. We've been playing for a little under an hour. What do you say we take a short break?
That's fair.
And we're back.
Okay. You are in a basement surrounded by dark. Well, not really.
Except for you.
Well, you can see in the dark.
The rest of you have a lantern.
Yep.
Which means you cannot see in the dark because the darkness has been pushed aside.
As it turns out, Hugh can still see quite a bit better than everybody else. Because the lantern has limited range. What everybody else sees is a small chamber. You can't see the far sides of, or the far corner, but you're in one corner of the chamber. You can see the edge of a cot, possibly. There is a desk with an indeterminate shape and not a whole lot else. Hugh can see in the dark. Hugh sees a room that's probably 20 by 30. Not a huge room, but not a tiny room either. I think I'm overestimating that. Call it 15 by 20. There is a bed. There is a chest of drawers in the far corner. There is some what looks like machinery up against the far wall. And there is a corpse, an old, old, ancient corpse. Like, there is no chance this is a townsperson who got trapped in here. Slumped over the desk.
Drawers?
They are sitting in a chair. They have Their clothes have almost entirely disintegrated. Players, are you familiar with the concept of a priest hole?
No.
This is something that was done in English, on English estates during the time of like Cromwell and the English Revolution, where they would have hidden chambers that where Catholic priests could hide, because the Cromwell and his associates would murder any Catholic priest that they found. And on occasion, there would be situations where a priest would get into a priest hole. Like they usually had a conspirator with the family who owned the estate, and the conspirator would shut them in the priest hole and cover it up so it couldn't be found. And then the priest, they would just never get them out. Like the conspirator would be caught and tried and executed or something like that, and they would never find the priest. And the priest didn't have a way to unlock it from the inside.
Ooh, that's bad.
Well, because you don't want the priest popping out while Cromwell's there, you know?
You would think they would stay put.
And yet.
So someone was hidden here and they died here.
Possibly. Well, the flag.
That looks like it might be the case.
Tamilin would like to shine her lantern on the ceiling to see how sturdy the ceiling is.
The ceiling looks very well reinforced. There's wooden support, which looks about as sturdy as the ladder. And above that is the stone of the flooring.
And for whatever reason, this basement is not sopping wet next to a river.
No, it looks like this is perfectly dry. This is like, there is the moisture of an underground place, but not the moisture of a flooded place.
This is a very nice hole, although it seems that someone did not want to let out the person. Do you suppose that there might be any notes left? History, perhaps? An explanation for why there appears to be... She's going to slither over to...
It's worth looking. Hugh and Steinen, what are you up to?
I will check the chest of drawers, I guess.
Okay. Hugh?
The drawers... Sorry.
I was just going to say, I haven't heard you speak for a couple minutes now.
Well, I've been cutting in far too much as it is.
I wanted to make sure that your
yes
microphone wasn't malfunctioning.
It seems to be in order.
Okay.
I am not always, but the microphone is in order. So the drawers seem interesting. The machinery seems very interesting. The corpse is more interesting than it should be to Hugh. But Hugh's going to go over to the wall that's facing the river. That this room is not flooded is interesting. And Hugh wants to try to examine to see if there's any kind of magic that is being used to keep this room from being underwater.
Okay, how are you doing that?
Gonna start with scan.
All right. Actually, I'm not gonna make you roll for this because you have encountered this before. The room is surrounded by what you took at first to be stone. What it actually is several layers of a substance you've never encountered before. And then wood, like the flat sheets of wood, and then another layer of the substance, and then another sheet of wood. And then basically there are barriers around the room. It's not magical. It's just a substance you're not familiar with, except that it's the same substance the fountain is made of back in town.
Huh.
This does not have tile work.
It's microplastics.
Macro, surely.
Joking aside, this is interesting, but also it may have been created with magic, but it's not magic itself, which means Hugh's probably not going to learn much from looking at it more. So Hugh's going to walk over to the machinery and examine that.
Okay. This is also what Victoria is doing. The machinery is, it's not a configuration that you've ever seen. And Victoria is also puzzled by it. It's the same kind of stuff that's in her mechanical cart, though.
This is neat. What is it?
I've never seen this configuration before. I mean, I'm sure I don't know.
Is the machinery built into the wall, or is it just sitting there on the floor, or...
This looks like it was set aside. It's not built into the wall. It's just...
So in theory, someone could tie a rope around it and haul it out of here.
Yes.
Okay.
Steinan, you were going over to the drawers, right? The chest of drawers?
Yep.
Okay. The chest of drawers is, there is one of the drawers that has spare clothing. The other one has rolls of paper and parchment in various states of repair and disrepair.
Is there anything written on any of the paper?
They look like blueprints.
Excuse me, over there at the machinery?
Yeah?
I don't suppose you want to look at some blueprints.
Victoria turns and blinks at you and then runs over.
Victoria manifests the ability to far step.
Yes. to Milan, the corpse has fallen with, you take it to be a pen. It is not like any pen. It involves no quill. There is not an ink pot, but it looks like they were writing with it.
Ooh, a magic pen.
And they have fallen on top of the book they were writing in.
Oh. Tamilin goes, sort of sadly for a while. Several times. Yes, and is sort of with the lantern, which probably is eventually going to be set down on the desk in such a way as to illuminate things without getting in people's eyes, especially illuminate what she's doing, sort of hovering around, trying not to touch the poor dead person, and sort of tug at the book gently. Will it come out? Has it adhered to the poor corpse?
The corpse is bones.
It's just bones. Okay, good. There's no adherence.
Yeah, there's no adhering. This corpse has been here for a long, long time.
She will very gingerly and carefully try to get the book out from under the corpse without destroying either of them. If it seems like either one is going to collapse it or turn to dust or whatever, then she'll stop.
For context, this corpse is easily as old as the oldest corpses in the buried temple.
Mm-hmm. She is apologizing to it the whole time, very quietly.
Sorry, 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 sorry.
Yes, sorry.
Oh, dear. No, I'm sorry. A human.
No, you're a ghost. Let's get this straight.
there is no ghost. The skeleton does not animate. You can pull the book aside without disturbing the skeleton too much.
She will do this thing and then look to see what was being written and hope really hard that any of it is even remotely legible.
Well, good news, bad news. The good news is it is legible. The bad news is it's not really in a language you understand.
Yep, figured that.
It looks like it might be an ancestor of the language the humans speak.
Well.
But it's like this is like if you tried to read Old English.
Yeah.
Ye oldie times, hearie ye.
I don't understand your crazy moon language.
Does the book seem like it can be transported safely, or?
Yes.
Time to bring out all of the nice padding and, you know, do any of the other pages. Can she turn a page without it turning to dust?
Yeah.
Okay.
Surprisingly.
Carefully page through to see if there's anything like pictures? Drawings?
There are occasionally pictures that don't make a whole lot of sense. Hugh, the machinery is like it's metal and glass, and sometimes metal inside glass, and different kinds of metal. Like some of it looks like silver, some of it looks like it's more sort of brown orangey. Some of it's clearly iron, but it's not wrought iron.
And what's this writing on the side of it? Alienware.
No. I don't know. It might be Keurig.
There's one part of it that's glowing blue, and it says drop and run.
I drop it at far step.
No, that's not true.
It's in the time it takes you to process that, you might already be dead. Yes.
It does seem to just sort of be a loose collection of, like, everything is assembled together, but it's not obvious what it does.
I turn it on, it goes bing.
You turn it on, and you hear the Windows 95 startup sound.
Oh, no. Let me hear the Mac SE sound. Where you can feel the case vibrate when you start that thing up. It's glorious.
Mm-hmm.
We set our alert message to ducks.
I don't know how to respond to that.
The way to respond is...
Yeah, it's fair.
I'll stop now.
Overhead, you hear the flapping of wings.
Well.
Steinlin, you and Victoria are... Victoria has reached in and unrolled several of the blueprints and is sort of going through them in kind of disbelief. All this time, sorry, what?
I was going to say, I assume they're good, then.
You're not going to tell anyone about this place, are you?
Okay, so I mean, that's
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was saying that's kind of a concerning answer.
I mean, all right, I'm going to level with you. I didn't really invent all the stuff that I invented. I've been reverse engineering it from stuff I found in the ruins. It's why I was worried about the kids playing out here. It's not why everybody's worried about the kids playing out here, but I'm not worried because they're going to find it. I'm worried because I might have dislodged something. Like I thought it might be my fault that rock fell, but no, it looks like the mortar was just finally failed. From what Quintilianus told me, it sounded like, and Hugh Quintilianus will have mentioned something like this too. It sounded like she fell and then the rock fell on her. So it looks like they were probably just climbing on it and screwed up. I mean, that's why we don't want the kids out here, because it's so dangerous. But I didn't want to plow it under because I might miss something like this.
It seems to me that perhaps you should come clean with the rest of the village and lay claim to all of this legally, so that if anyone does find out, they have to pay you and the village to access the blueprints, says Tamelia, throwing her employer under the bus.
No, Piaris, he's the farmer with the big house. He owns the ruins. And he lets, you know, he doesn't know I'm coming up here.
Oh.
So if he found out that there was stuff under the ruins that he could sell, he'd sell it to the highest bidder. That's what the farmhouse out by the road, that family decided to move out to the coast, and he bought their land and said he was going to rent out the house, but instead he just decided to use it for spare wood.
Perhaps the rest of the village might consider buying the land out from under him?
If he knew what was here, he wouldn't.
Well, we don't have to tell him.
I'd have to tell them. I'd have to tell them to get them to buy the land. And then he'd wonder why they were wanting to buy the land. And he'd open it up to bids. No, it's better not to tell anybody.
Hmm.
But
what are those blueprints of, anyway? Those scrolls?
Machines I've never seen before. I mean, I knew what this place was, but
what was it?
It would be so hard to explain it to you without
a school?
No. There
a workshop.
I don't know. I'm in the town. It used to be a much bigger travel town anyway. It was one of the big stops on the line.
Line.
And then it just stopped. But that's what I've been able to figure out from. They had machines the likes of which I've never seen. And so I get to reverse engineer their stuff and look like a genius. And
you are a genius.
Yeah, but I'm not like a genius. I'm not anything on the level of these guys. And
they probably weren't either. They were probably building on knowledge that was simply more common when they were making it.
Something, something, shoulders of giants.
Yes. They're probably building on what was common knowledge in their time and common spells.
What do you mean? Hang on. The magic changed.
That would probably be why it was abandoned. Something made it stop working. But the machines you're building still work. Or they work.
Yeah, but I'm giving them different power.
Exactly.
I'm using steam power.
They were probably using magic power. So when the magic stopped working, they realized that they couldn't enchant their power systems anymore. And I'm just surprised this poor fellow got trapped. Was it forbidden to make these?
No, but I have a room I lock myself away in when I'm trying to do work. Of course, I can open it from the inside.
Why would he make... Tamilin is going to take her lantern and slither up again to the hole and start investigating to see if there is some fancy magic mechanism that might have failed that trapped him in his basement.
Okay.
Mid-sentence.
Yeah, make me an investigation roll. Difficulty 3.
Do I even have investigation?
If you don't, just make it an intellect roll.
Intellect diff 3. Can I put some effort into this?
Sure, I don't see why not.
Okay, let's roll.
That's a good thing to do. With a 7, that beats a difficulty 2, since you put effort into it. That is what you needed. It looks like there is indeed a mechanism there, and the failsafe is... There is a failsafe on both sides. It looks like the one on the inside might be broken.
That's odd.
Nothing lasts forever.
True. Still.
Yeah, it's less like someone broke it and more like, oh, this latch sticks.
And it stuck so much that someone didn't... Oh, he trapped himself, the poor fellow. Or herself. I can't really tell. Bones all look alike.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Bones all look alike.
Yeah.
I mean, if I wanted to get my hands on this property, I'd probably go to the owner and say, kids keep getting hurt on it. It's a liability. I could take it off your hands and, you know, do what needs to be done to try to make it be safe while you're worrying about things that, you know, won't have you get in trouble for kids getting crushed when they trespass on the property.
It does seem to be a bit of a public nuisance.
I'm just a delivery driver.
Fence around it.
Hugh is saying this while examining other things throughout the room, probably not finding anything at all, and just idly saying this.
And building a fence to keep the children out would seem to be spending money for something that doesn't actually get money.
You might need to buy the wood from someone who has a house they're dismantling or something.
Mm.
Well,
how much have we been for our part of the jobs we've been doing?
You've been getting a fair portion. I haven't put a number on it.
Tamilin is trying to figure out if she can buy this thing.
It's possible. You would have to talk to Piaris.
Hugh would likely not be able to buy it because what he made from the first job was all given to the people he owed money to for losing a whole bunch of deliveries.
Steinen, would you like to go into partnership and purchase an amount of land? After all, someday I will want to settle down when I have found a suitable other sari to be with. Perhaps I would need some land cleared.
I thought you hated how cold it was here.
Hush, hush.
I mean, you keep complaining about it.
We can dig out basements and fill them with steam heating, and then it will be nice and warm.
Maybe we could talk to the people who've been getting hurt and whose kids have been getting hurt. And, then it wouldn't be a bunch of random outsiders to the town presenting weird.
I have a reason alone to want to buy it cheap, you see.
I'm sure you do. I think you should still talk to people because this is the town's. It should be the town's.
I never said I wasn't going to sell it to the town afterwards. It might turn out to be too cold.
I'm saying I think that there's an unnecessary and suspicious amount of subterfuge happening.
Oh.
I think it'll weird him out if some outsiders just want to buy it for unclear reasons.
It's not unclear. At some point, I do want to set up to have to be part of a group. I'm going to want eggs someday.
It's cold up here and everyone can see that you're a snake person.
Yes. That just means that I expect that the price for this would be cheap enough to afford, and then I wouldn't have to worry so much about where I'm going to settle down in my old age. People make glass houses to put plants and things in, don't they? To keep the frost off.
So long as you don't throw stones in it.
Of course not. Then you've got a broken glass house. It's for plants. I saw one once. I assume I can say that?
Yes.
It's a pretty standard ancient tech. It doesn't... You know. That's actually not a bad idea. Victoria?
Victoria is standing back by the chest of drawers, clutching several blueprints to her chest and looking sort of wildly between you.
And you make glass houses?
Well, I'm not a glazier, but I understand the principle.
B? Perhaps I do want to settle down here someday.
I just think that...
All right, but what do we tell the others?
I'm not sure we need to be the ones telling anyone anything, but someone will need to say something if they want to keep being able to go through this place.
Well,
just think someone might bankroll you to continue developing.
Yes, well, I'm not trading Mildred for whatever that thing was.
Victoria is at a loss for words.
Stein, and over here a moment, if you would. Corner huddle.
I mean, we could probably talk to Quintilianus. He doesn't seem like the type to...
That's true. He might have some notions. No, what I want to ask, dragging Stein in off, lowering voice, so that Victoria... We were hired to investigate here. Should we tell her this?
Well, I think so.
While they're doing the corner huddle, Hugh's going to be going over to Victoriana and ask, so,
Victoria,
one of those names. So,
Vicky,
these blueprints, how good are you at making copies?
Well, I mean, I'd have to study them for a little bit, but...
Because if you made a copy, then you'd be putting your name on it, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Any chance you'd be willing to sell some schematics with you getting the credit for them? I know someone who might be interested in stuff like this.
Well, I guess if I knew what they did.
Why don't we explain some things?
Oh, you mean like how we were hired to come here and check out the town because someone heard something weird was happening here?
Pretty much. And how, having discovered what's going on, I personally think that a much more profitable arrangement for everyone would be if the town owned all of this and was in partnership with who we were investigating for.
You still make it sound really surreptitious and
that's dubious. Because I'm Asari, and I can't help but have everything that I say sound surreptitious.
Also, Victoria said that the person who does own this land would pretty much just sell it out from under everyone.
Right. So we're going to be having to surreptitious that person at a minimum.
Well, yeah, but you make it sound like we're doing weird, suspicious things with everyone else, and that... Dinan looks at Victoria and makes a helpless gesture.
Well,
we work for a scholar who is interested in stuff from old empires. We also actually were here to deliver stuff, but...
Yes.
Oh, and
if you tell him about this, then...
I really don't know.
Well, then he might hire you.
Or he might come and take it away from me.
That would be why it would be a good idea to secure the land for you and perhaps the rest of the village in group before people come to take things or not take things or buy things or whatnot. I may be surreptitiously arranging things so that it is a little bit harder for our actual original employer to walk away with the steal. Don't mention it if we are. But I do think everyone else would have things turn out better as a compromise. Oh no, Hugh is doing a thing.
Well, yes, I found some things when going around surreptitiously looking at stuff and making random comments. And one of them is a power device cipher, which Hugh is going to... The player is tempted to do this. Hugh, upon learning what Hugh has, with Hugh's inabilities on full display...
Oh, boy.
...is not so much tempted as compelled.
Yep, that's... Yep.
So Hugh is going to go over to the machinery that's sitting there and use power device on it.
Okay. This is a manifest cipher, so it is a little... It's a metal-capped glass tube that is lit up inside with... When you activate it, it becomes lit up inside with an energy you can't identify.
It's RGB-powered.
Yes. It starts changing colors smoothly throughout the spectrum. He was so distracted by this that the cipher deactivates before he has a chance to use it. No.
I mean, that'd be a fair comp. I wouldn't argue against it.
The device, you plug it into the machinery against the wall, and it does spring to life and sort of unfolds on itself, and... I gotta just...
And good news, everyone, this group also has a flying car now.
No.
Alas. That'd be hilarious.
Hugh would still not trade Mildred and the cart for it.
No, we'd hook it up to Mildred so she could tow that instead of the cart. It would just hover along behind her.
Pops out. It assembles itself out into a platform that's about 10 feet wide. It takes up much of the room.
Oh, dear.
And has a wheel at each corner.
Hugh backpedaling as this thing expands is a hilarious notion in my head.
Good.
What the?
How I found a thing that powers a thing, and so I powered the thing, and now it's powered, and it does this thing.
There are wheels. How are we supposed to get it out?
The wheels have rims. Not like on one side, the wheels have rims that it's hard to describe. On the side closest to where they're attached to the platform, they have a rim all the way around them. And they are attempting to turn. They're all going in the same direction. And they're kind of skittering on the stone floor.
It's a lazy Susan.
It's a magic mobile cart that expanded out of everything. And now it is in the middle of here. And how are we supposed to get it out?
Turn it off. Just take the thing out of it.
Can Hugh reach the thing?
It is at the center of the cart, but you can get up on it. And it's about 3 feet tall. You can hop onto it.
Okay. So Hugh hops. Every fiber of my being is making me want to call Hugh Ran. And but regardless, so Hugh jumps onto the merry-go-round, marvels at it for a moment, gets dizzy, and tries to unplug the thing from the thing.
I think I should be more clear. It's not spinning. There are two wheels on one side and two wheels on the other.
It's a self-powered cart.
They're the wheels are spinning because they're trying to make it go.
Okay.
But it can't go anywhere because there's a wall right there.
So Hugh unplugs it. It can't
go anywhere because they're...
Or get traction.
It can't get traction. Hugh unplugs it, and it folds back up into itself. Huh. In its folded up form, it could be taken up the stairs.
Why don't we take this up the ladder? And what did you say about a line?
That's a line cart, but the line's not there anymore.
It was supposed to go on some special road.
Yeah, the road wasn't always a road. That doesn't make any sense. I have to...
The road had special magic tracks that the wheels fit into?
I don't think they were magic. They're just iron.
Oh.
But all the iron got pulled up.
Yes, it would.
And now every one of our current campaigns has a rail line in it somewhere. Or in this case, someone.
Yep. Yeah, well.
I'm okay with this.
All right, so what if we have Quintilianus tell Piaris that he's going to have the town tear down these ruins because he's sick and tired of treating kids who get stuff, who fall off stuff or have stuff fall on them.
And he's then, going to charge for the tearing down of the nuisance?
I can offer to buy it and say that I'll put up fences and keep the kids out of it.
And I'll back you with some money if I have to.
I am the blacksmith. I can make fences.
Mm.
And I'm pretty good friends with Faroon. She can make fence posts if we need to.
And then we can tell our employer that, yes, we found weird things, but they're on land owned by someone who is perhaps inclined to...
Negotiate. Would that... All right, I'll have to talk to Quintilianus about it.
Do we want to get this thing smuggled out of this basement and put in your shop, or should we leave it here and let it be smuggled out later?
I think we should leave it here. I'll take it out sometime tonight or tomorrow night.
All right.
It's a lot easier to transport this stuff after dark.
Yes, it would be.
Hey, what you got in that book?
I don't know. Here. I mean, she probably stuffed, sort of show the text.
Oh, this is the really, really old, like...
Our employer might have someone who can read it or translate it.
Well...
Do you mind if I take this back to them and... To show off. It's yours, though, isn't it? Because it will be on your land.
Guess if you let me make a copy of it first.
Oh, certainly.
You know how it is with academics. You lend them a book and you never get it back.
That's why I make a lot of rubbings. There's a lot of paper in the cart. We can make a copy.
All right.
Perhaps I should take the copy.
There's some Augmanites that are coughing mildly and pulling at their collars.
All right. Well, if you're willing to do that, then, well...
If it were just an annoying person who owned it, then we would simply sneak away and tell our employer. But it seems that there is someone who could actually make good use of it and benefit people. Point. In case the someone is at all unclear. Pointed. Victoria.
All right. I mean, you want to go talk to him now? He's probably out in the field. Or, I don't know, maybe he has people to do that for him.
We should go find Quintilianus, yes.
Yeah.
Let's go close things up, and it would be good to be able to discover this more openly later, and give this poor fellow, or madame, a proper internment.
All right.
Look at the skeleton a bit sadly.
Victoria will reluctantly put the blueprints back.
Oh, take one of them at least. I don't mind.
I don't want to be seen carrying this stuff back to town.
That's true. Well, we'll certainly close up the thing. Hugh, show Victoria where the latch was.
Definitely. And also, Hugh's going to hand over the what remains of the powering cipher. That, okay. at the very least, can be pocketed.
Fair enough. Okay. You can go up. She takes a look at it and, oh, yeah, it's just got to replace this little mechanism here, and that'll be good as new. Gosh, poor guy. Trapped for want of a 2-inch piece of iron. Anyway, let's close it up and cover it back up, and then we can go talk to Quinn. Hugh, it has, after all this time, occurred to you that you could have just used hedge magic to remove the dirt.
Oh, the player understood this, yes.
Okay.
Considering that this player, when a GM, let the GM, who was then a player, use hedge magic to do something similar.
Yes.
This was kept in mind. However, I had a shiny toy.
I'm well aware. I'm well aware that you, the player, were aware of this. I'm telling Hugh, the character, has finally had this realization.
Hugh might have realized it earlier also, but Hugh had a shiny toy.
Fair. It was a very nice shovel.
It was the best of shovels, but it's going to take a little bit longer because I think I might have used up my shovel.
Does it stop being a shovel after, or does it just not ever transform again?
It doesn't have a time limit.
I don't think I've ever heard those words said in that order.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Anyway, and Pew will far step to the top of the ladder.
Slither, slither.
All right. Let's climb.
Slither, slither up the ladder.
Okay.
Cover everything back up again.
Okay.
Using hedge magic. Because I did use up my shovel.
You head back down to, once you have cleaned everything up or dirtied everything, once you have restored everything to the state of cleanliness that it was before, you head down to Quintilianus's chat. Quintilianus and Imca are still there. He is still not letting her leave the bed. I feel fine. You are not going to feel fine if you get up and walk on those legs at least another 6 hours.
You said something about bringing the cart around to help, and I don't want to go on the cart.
So, what brings you back here?
Victoria would like to say a few words to you. Perhaps you two should step outside and we will keep your patient amused and not running around.
All right. They step outside for about 5 minutes, and then Victoria pokes her head back in and says, "It's on."
Excellent.
Oh, good.
So all we need to do is wait for the bill of sale to go through.
Yeah, I guess. He thought it was a good idea. So, well, frankly, he thought plowing the ruins under was a good idea. But he's going to go talk to Kiaris about it and see what they can get him to, you know.
Be in a mood to sell the liability.
After about half an hour or so, during which Imca continues to try and get up, especially since Quintilianus isn't here anymore.
Camelin is going to tell Inca stories about the ancient ruin of a dead snake god and make it a lot scarier and lots more arrow traps from the darkness and whatnot, and see if that will keep the kid entertained.
He is definitely entertained.
Okay. Hopefully not moving around.
Quintilianus comes back about half an hour later and walks in the door looking thoughtful. Well, I spoke to Piaris. He was, as you predicted, hard at work in his field. And when I told him that another child had been injured in the ruins, he told me, and I quote, "I wish I could just get rid of that place." So I said I agreed with him. And, well, to make a long story short, he signed the deed over to Victoria. He said he didn't want it anymore. He just gave it to you? Well, he does expect to be paid, but not, I think, as much as you expected. Well, all right. As long as you do promise to put the fence up. But, well, yeah. That was the plan. Thanks.
I thought he was going to, I mean, after what he did with the, after what he did with the house, I thought for sure he was, what do you mean what he did with the house? Well, he, didn't he buy that house and start tearing it apart? His parents bought that house because it was falling apart. The owners were moving to the coast and didn't want it anymore and didn't want to have to keep it up. He's been using it for spare wood, but only the parts that are still good.
Oh, I guess I got my timeline confused. That was weird. Anyway, I mean, maybe I ought to get out more.
Well, what with you being nocturnal, you don't have much opportunity to interact with.
Yeah. You know, not all Giona are nocturnal.
Well, I know that. Atsana at the inn is constantly up in the daytime.
Yeah, that's just me. All right, well.
Congratulations on your property. Would you like any help assessing it?
No, I...
Looking for sinkholes, perhaps.
Well, I mean, if you really want to, but...
Don't have anything else to do for the rest of the day.
I guess. I mean, I was going to go to bed.
You go to bed. We'll go look for sinkholes.
Just as long as we don't cap this off by making poor Quintilianus treat another patient.
We'll be very careful, and I promise Quintilianus I will not break a leg.
He valiantly keeps a straight face.
It is possible that the leg that could have been broken was never supposed to be Temelin's.
Yes,
you might be a healthy distance away.
I have promised not to break any legs of anyone who doesn't cause me a problem in the first place. Yes.
Q excuses himself.
Okay. You spend the rest of the day, and possibly the next day if you want, scanning the various rooms. That you can scan that long, low building with the high porch if you want to. It looks like some kind of administrative building, but it's hard to tell what, like, in the state of decay that it's in, it's hard to tell what it would have done.
It used to be a transport place. There are probably warehouse buildings are in here as well, or at least Tamilin would think so.
The buildings north of the river all seem to have been homes. It's possible that anything south of the river, other than that long, low building, got repurposed. For instance, there are a couple buildings that, if you scan the foundations, look like they used to have a united foundation and got split into multiple buildings at one point. You can spend the rest of the day and the next day if you want to, getting a pretty good scan of the ruins. There aren't any more hidey holes, really. You do locate a couple other caches of mechanical objects that Victoria hadn't found yet.
We will make a little map and we will put little X's to hand them to Victoria.
Okay.
But the scale's all Victoria. Wrong, so all the X's are right on top of each other and cover an area of about 200 square feet.
Yes. Is there anything else that you'd like to do before it is time to start heading back?
Tamilin is probably going to make a few copies of some of the stuff that she wants to show Victoria and ask if she can tell their nominal employer.
One crate of rubbings of a steam engine.
Look, if there's anything that she could make rubbings of that would be cool, then yes, she would absolutely make cool rubbings of something. But she's not going to go out of her way to make rubbings that aren't entertaining.
Victoria will allow some rubbings and will provide a copy of the book as best she can, with the understanding that nobody present understands the language.
Mm-hmm. It's about the same that Tamilin could do, which would be to painstakingly trace every letter and...
Victoria doesn't do it herself, but she has her assistant Dagny do it.
who is also in on this.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody have anything else? Hugh has replenished his ciphers. Steinen, is there anything else you'd like to do?
Don't think so.
Okay. Then you head out on the road back to Kalbsburg. That's what the name of the town is. It is kind of a long journey, and you reach Kalbsburg just as midsummer is hitting, like on Midsummer Day.
About how many days? Goody.
There is a
festival.
There's a little festival in Kalbsburg. I don't remember how many days I said it was away.
Is this the town we were in when we got the quest?
Yes.
Then it's about 3 days' journey, which means that sounds right. Hugh does not need to eat for another 4 days.
Okay.
Hugh is not aware of how many days Hugh has remaining and is worried that Hugh will just never eat again.
You could always have a snack just because you felt like it?
Oh, no, nothing for me.
You have been sent with a couple baskets. You have been sent with a couple baskets of cherries and some early apples.
Oh, good.
None of them have been exploded.
And we'll take the mail if any mail is going in that direction or whatever.
Okay. When you get back to the Kalbsburg Inn, Tig is waiting for you. So, how'd it go?
I have laid down the copies of the book. They're not.
Oh, copies. My. I know you have copies of like blueprints and books and stuff. They're not rubbings, but that's where my mind went first, and yours too, because you interjected to say they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but
you can't see me pointing at accusingly at the screen, but I'm doing it.
You see, she laid it down there because she knew that Tank would also go, oh no, rubbings, but.
I looks at the book and, well, the copies, and pulls it closer and starts reading through it.
Can you read that?
Oh yeah, it's old human, like
what does the last
1,000 years ago?
What did the last pages say? The original was under a skeleton.
He pulls back a bit from the book before he registers that you said the original.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, good job retrieving it. So this is a copy?
We negotiated with the owner of the land who was there when we found the underground location.
Oh, well, okay. I'll send someone to be in touch with them.
Victoria.
Victoria?
Is that
blacksmith?
Problem? Yes, she bought the land fairly recently.
Huh. Kids keep getting hurt there.
Mm-hmm. She's going to be putting up fences.
Well,
is
good
this
for her.
A problem?
No, just
you know her.
Well, from the reports we've been given, I didn't think she had any ambition toward land ownership. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
It was less land ownership and more making sure that progress was made.
And that the children didn't get hurt. Offensive.
I definitely understand that. All right.
What were the poor person's last words?
Let's see.
Does anyone else?
I died because of Arg. No, that's not. That is not what Ty said.
Perhaps they were dictating.
They shut down the rail. The rail stopped running. The magic stopped working. The rail stopped running. And he was trying to find a way to get it working again, but seems to have gotten stuck somewhere and couldn't.
His hidden basement lost power to open the latch.
Oh, yeah, that's scary.
Apparently it was a mechanical issue. Victoria said it was a for want of a 4-inch piece of metal.
I think it may have been a 2-inch piece.
Weird thing is, didn't they have a pen with them?
I'm not sure.
Maybe it was a specific piece of metal.
Could have been.
All right. Well,
there's
he slaps
a moral
his palms on the table. He slaps his palms on the table. My associate and I think you have done a marvelous job. Really just top notch. Excellent work.
Thank you.
And so we would like to make an offer. We need belts.
You cut out there. It sounded like you said we need belts.
We need scouts.
Oh.
People to go to far off places and find things we might want to look at.
Go places. What do you say? Nose around, see what's new, different, and of interest?
Indeed. We would like to build a catalog of interesting things around the world from the present and past ages. We can send you there, and we can bring you back. And while you're there, you'll have an operating budget. And, well, you seem pretty attached to that cart and ox, so you can take them with you and use that for travel.
By send, exactly how? With the cart and ox?
Well, we have, let's just say we have some magic from a previous age that recently started working again.
Oh, fascinating. One of the new dragons resonates with a grandparent.
Apparently.
Intend that pun.
Yes, I intend that pun.
Thank you.
We do need a catalog made by people with an ability to discern far-off mystical things. It's a Sears catalog.
We blame Crash.
The pun I was talking about was, oh, a grandparent, apparently.
Yes.
Intend that one, too.
That is the one that I accosted Ellie for, yes. The other one was mine. I always intend mine.
It's really too bad that you don't have a male character with deer horns. Then it could be a Sears Roebuck catalog.
I'll keep that in mind, Ellie. I'll keep that in mind. I will make a Roebuck seer.
In my game, you can.
I know. You two both like Cypher. I can make puns in Cypher. Anyway. So we go can... to Farf. You send us with the cart.
Yes. We can send you to... Well, we have a big map. And you can pick a place that looks interesting, and we can send you there. And you can explore to your heart's content, and then when you're done, we can bring you back.
And this has been tried by more people than just us.
It's worked every time we've tried.
That doesn't answer the question.
How many times have you tried it?
You'll be our 13th team in the field.
Oh, how fortunate. Well, certainly, why not?
I'm in.
I'd be happy to.
All right. Well, then there's a little town about a couple hours travel from here. What do you say we head out and you can meet some of my associates?
That sounds interesting. And I wouldn't be doing what I do if I didn't like interesting.
Sounds good.
All right.
We are about to wrap up. So if anybody has any last poses or last things to say, now is the time.
Milan will say, so, do you think Mildred is ready for a bit of a walk?
That's fine, but we were told it's about a two-hour trip. You are going to want to pack a couple meals.
Yes, probably. An ox goes as fast as an ox goes.
But who's going to be the skipper?
We're not going on a three-hour tour. We're going on a trip. There's a difference.
Hugh is not Gilligan.
I don't think you're the professor either.
No, I am.
Ah, okay. There we go.
Hugh drives the cart, so Hugh is the skipper.
Fair enough. Steinen, anything you would like to add or do?
I cannot think of anything.
Okay. In that case, that's where we're going to wrap it up. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, everyone, for playing. Tonight, I've been joined by Beth, Crash, and EO. Jen is player in absentia. And I'm told that EO's mom writes books.
At ElizabethMcCoy.com. And check out the books there. Check out the links. I don't think we have links to them on Hoopla. I would have no idea how to make that work. But you can, you know, check them out. See if your library has them with Libby. See if you can get them with your library has a Hoopla partnership. I think that's the right word. I have a cat poking me. I can't tell. Anyway, check them out. If you check them out at the library, then you read them for free. And I love that because the library pays me. And speaking of cool things you can check out for free and pay money for if you really like them.
Things you can check out for free. Bookofjen.net is where Jen has been posting things. We'd be remiss if we didn't plug their stuff as well. But all of our podcasts go to aaronbsmith.com. And I put a few other things there too, but it's mostly the podcast for our three current campaigns and occasionally a one-shot or three. You can also go to our Patreon, patreon.com/coggle gaming, and help us keep the lights on along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Liv Drummond, Paul, Shanshan, Walter, and patron emeritus Cindy.
And until next time, this is Ellie, remembering that she's the GM, and saying, so Tig has some new friends coming up. I can't wait to meet them. Good night, everybody.
Night.
And now you all have an asset in buying real estate.
Yeah, well, we got the inheritance 3 years later, power.
Subprime mortgage prices.
Oh, no.
What have I done?
Oh, no.